If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to deal with an important subject of hijab according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But let's listen to a short biography before we start our program. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Well, we are still talking about hijab, this important subject, as the rest of the questions remained from the previous, in fact, episodes. Let me ask you, Sheikh Javid, about overgarments. You know, the community has become familiar with many types of these kinds of garments that we call overgarments or abaya, right? Abaya are known by various names, but they serve the same purpose, which is basically to cover all parts of the body, right?
Yeah.
Contemporary models, though, are usually kaftans cut from light, flowing fabrics, like crepe, georgette, and chiffon. Well, other known styles are front open and front closed overgarments. Styles differ from region to region, as everybody knows, right?
Yeah.
What is the opinion of the Islamic legislator, you know, in this or about this phenomenon? What is the difference between abaya and what is called manto that some women wear when traveling?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Islamic hijab means the modest covering of the body by a woman, including her hair and face and hands from the sight of a non-mahram man, of course. As for how a woman should cover her body, and how her body should be, you know, dressed, it is something that is relegated to the woman herself. It is something that the woman herself can choose, you know, the type of the dress, the clothing, because Islam does not prescribe a special type of clothing or dress. The dress, as we said in one of the previous episodes, differs from one culture, from one community, and from one country to another country. So as we say, as we go to different countries, we find women wearing clothes with different designs, you know, patterns. And so the type of the dress is relegated to the woman herself, provided that the dress the woman wears, of course, is not, you know, flashy, it's not attractive, it's not, you know, the dress of fame, it's not see-through.
Mm-hmm.
These are the most important conditions that must be considered and must be taken into account by a woman. If these conditions are fulfilled, then the woman should not worry about the type of the dress she wears.
Mm-hmm. I see. Another question, Sheikh Javid, is that what is the religious law about a woman wearing clothes that are transparent, revealing the body parts, clothes fitting, or clothes of bright colors such as yellow and red, ornate, gilded, embroidered, flashy in terms of how it looks, and shiny and silky?
Well, what is required of a woman in hijab is to cover her attractive parts,
mm-hmm,
and to hide her adornment from strangers. That's very important because Almighty Allah says they must not display their adornments. لَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. Okay, that's what the Quran says. And the women should not display or show their adornments, their ornaments, whatever. And therefore, whatever clothes meet this requirement,
yes,
it is permissible, as long as the clothes do not, you know, reveal the woman's attractive parts, as long as they are not see-through, as long as they are loose. Of course, there's no objection to the woman wearing them,
mm-hmm,
wearing them. Of course, the more modest the cloth is in common view, the better it is.
Mm-hmm. How about shiny and silky?
Of course, women wear shiny and silky clothes. Women can wear silk. There is no objection to women wearing silk.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, silk is haram for men only.
and also gold.
But when it comes to a cloth being shiny, of course, it depends in common view. If in the eye of custom, or in common view, of course, a dress is considered to be the dress of fame or attractive, very flashy, and very kind of weird in common view, then it's not permissible to wear that dress. Mm-hmm.
I see. Thank you very much, Ashrawit. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohan Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Topic is still hijab, that we are asking many questions about it. Sheikh Javid, let me ask you a question about the relationship between custom and hijab. Does custom, do you think, have any role to play in determining the type of hijab women should wear?
Well, custom is the word used to refer to the believers or common people's understanding of something. Now, when we talk about custom, we mean we do not mean every individual. Every individual who lives in a city. There are people who do not care about, clothing. There are people who are not practicing Muslims. There are Muslims and non-Muslims in a city. So we don't. Custom does not refer to such kind of a common understanding. When we talk about custom, we mean the custom of the believing and faithful people, those who are practicing, those who pray, those who fast, and those who actually abide by the Islamic laws. That's what custom means, of course. Now, when it comes to the customs having a role in determining the type of the hijab, of course, the custom may have a say in matters regarding clothes, whether they are sexually provocative, whether they are, flashy or not, because it's the custom that decides whether it is flashy or not. If it is flashy, and if it is sexually provocative, then obviously she must not wear them.
Mm-hmm. I see. And another question, Shastavid, about the work situation. Some women have to work, all right? They have to earn their livelihood. So what is the ruling on a woman working with men if she's taking care of her hijab, but that work requires a mixing of women and men, in the same place, looking at other people's faces, for example, and talking to them. So there is a kind of interaction between women and men in their workplace.
Well, Islam is not opposed to men and women interacting with each other. Islam is not opposed to it. Of course, women in this time around do go out working because they have to support their children, they have to help their husbands. Sometimes they might have ailing husbands in their...
Sometimes they are single parents.
Sometimes they are single parents, as you said. And therefore, they need to work. And of course, according to His Eminence, Quran Ayatollah Khamenei, of course, there's no objection to a woman going out and working. Of course, if she is married, she must get her husband's consent, because mm-hmm. she cannot leave her home without the consent of her husband. Now, if her husband gives his consent and allows her to go out, of course, It depends, again, it depends on the setting or the environment in which she might work, okay? If she's exposed to some kind of danger, for example, she must not work there, because it's very important for a woman to be able to observe her hijab and to abide by the Islamic Sharia laws. And of course, generally speaking, if her working does not entail any evil, anything haram, then there's no problem in her work. She can work wherever it is safe and wherever she can observe hijab and wherever she is confident that she will not fall into a sin.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Thank you very much, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. From me and the rest of the team here in this program, Islamic Laws, we bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا